Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
There should be lightness in your heart today, a smile, not just on your face, but throughout you, a glow, like you are a ball of sunshine, because Amy Coney Barrett is now on the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court now is controlled by a majority of people who believe in the American system of government and want to uphold the Constitution instead of dismantle it. And that's just a really glorious thing if you believe in the American system of government. But it's caused some people to be very political. Well, yes, you would expect Chuck Schumer to be political, but I want you to hear this because there's a confession in this diatribe that I think is something we should be very aware of.
You may win this vote, and Amy Coney Barrett may become the next Associate Justice of the Supreme Court.
This is yesterday, before the vote happened, but he knew it was going to happen, and he was issuing a warning to Republicans.
But you will never, never get your credibility back. And the next time the American people give Democrats a majority in this chamber, you will have forfeited the right to tell us how to run that majority. You may win this vote, but in the process, you will speed the precipitous decline of faith in our institution, our politics, the Senate, and the Supreme Court.
You notice he's a little angry here, and what he's doing is laying out the future. He's justifying the way he's going to behave in the future. In other words, Chuck Schumer is saying, we plan on having a war with Republicans for having exercised their constitutional right to fill empty Supreme Court justice seats. What he's saying is he has no interest in this peaceful, let's get along idea that voters talk about so frequently. And sometimes Democrats and Republicans will pander to and say, wouldn't it be nice if we could get back to this? And they're going to blame every inch of the future and the war that comes on Republicans. But this didn't just start now. This has been going on for a long time.
You will give an already divided and angry nation a fresh outrage and open a wound in this chamber that will take a very long time to heal.
What he's saying is, me, Chuck Schumer, leader of the Democrats, will not accept this result. I want to make things hotter. I want to turn up the volume on the strife as a way to justify myself to my voters. I'm not going to lead, I'm going to follow, and I'm going to follow down the path to more rancor. And then he's going to blame it all on Republicans. You see how they play it. That's how they play it.
Never forget the lack of consistency, honor, decency, fairness, and principle.
Principle.
They will never forget the rights that are limited, constrained, or taken away by a far-right majority on the Supreme Court. And history will record that by brute political force, in contradiction to its stated principles, this Republican majority confirmed a lifetime appointment on the eve of an election.
Yeah, that's what they're supposed to do, as we all know. 860-522-9842. I love when they talk about honor, integrity, all that kind of stuff that has nothing to do with the way they do politics. It's so weird, isn't it? Why do they use those words? Lisa calling from Bristol. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on Chuck Schumer, and
yes,
he's angry. I agree with you that I can hear anger in his voice, but why was it I feel that he just wants it to be even. Like, if the Republicans aren't going to put somebody elect somebody when Obama was in office, because it was February and it was an election year, then they turn around and do the exact opposite. And so the trust level is not there. I'm not saying they didn't come up with a good candidate. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it wasn't good for the goose. So why is it good for the gander?
Oh, well, only because it's politics. So they don't tell the truth about much. And if they see a chance to grab power and there's a necessity in their minds, they grab it. But there's no principle there, because the only principle that should matter in this is the Constitution. The Constitution says when there's an opening on the Supreme Court, that the president gets to nominate and the Senate gets to approve. So what they're mad about is just that they couldn't stop it, I think. And the anger on Chuck Schumer's part is performance anger, designed to make the core Democratic voter be as angry as possible. So the only point I'm making, what you're saying is true. The only point I'm making is that what he's saying is, I want to justify making sure we keep escalating the war. And we're going to blame it all on the Republicans and not take any responsibility ourselves. And that's the only point I wanted to make.
Don't you think Trump keeps this war going?
That trust does? Is that what you're saying?
No, Trump. President Trump.
Oh, Trump. Yeah, Trump. Trump has
this going. He keeps the energy, and I did this so great. I was so perfect. I was this. I was that. Let's lock them all up. Let's talk about people's color. They're idiots. How about the scientists that are idiots?
I think.
Also, I think he's the lead guy.
He is, yes, because he's the president and he's the head of Republican. I think you're right about that the two sides are trying to represent their voters. So Chuck Schumer, in this tape we're hearing, is trying to pull a Donald Trump on Democratic voters. That is to show them exactly how upset you're supposed to be and how justified it is to escalate the war. And that's the same thing that Donald Trump does, because that's what conservative voters require from him, is to show to have fight. And if there's anything that he's been glorious at for the sake of conservative voters, is that he has brought the fight. And what I like about Donald Trump is he's the most honest politician I've ever seen. He does not try to candy coat this stuff. This is a war for the power to pull the country back to where it's supposed to be constitutionally, or to let the Democrats continue to make it into the Soviet Union. That's a war that comes with, for me, a lot of conviction. I want to see us win that war because I want America to be saved. Thank you, Lisa, for the call. Thanks for making the point. Ed, hello there.
Hi, John. Yeah, I wanted to make a proposal that we add a very simple question to the top of the ballot, and that if you can answer it appropriately, vote goes through. If you answer inappropriately, it gets shredded. So to ensure
your vote gets shredded?
So it's to ensure that people who are voting have good knowledge, good critical thinking skills, good logic, and they're voting that way rather than based on emotion or whimsy.
Okay.
So the question,
what's the question?
The question would be, are you registered as a Democrat or a Republican?
Okay. You going to walk us through this?
Sure. If you're a Republican, you get to vote. If you're a Democrat, you don't.
Okay. it's all done right there. How about, do you believe in that we should follow the spirit of the United States Constitution, which bases the country on liberty and small government? Should we be following that, or should we be trying to become the old Soviet Union or the Castro regime down in Havana? I wouldn't mind being a little more specific, Ed, because in some ways it's hard to know, or there's overlap between what Democrats and Republicans stand for. But to me, this is all about, are we going to have small government that doesn't oppress us, that doesn't take our rights away, as the founders intended, or are we going to let the big government crowd get away with making it bigger all the time?
Well, something has to be done, because there's just too many people voting that are doing it based on emotion and really don't have a grasp of the facts.
Or based on gifts. What am I getting from those Democrats? I think that's a big thing, too. I like the idea. It's interesting. Let's keep bouncing it around. Call another time. 860-522-9842. Yeah, we played some sound from Chuck Schumer. We're talking about the war between the parties and what that's all about. And Schumer is acting all offended by the fact that the Republicans have placed, and Trump has put, another Supreme Court justice on the court. But they're really just looking to justify keeping the war escalating, and that's the part I find amusing. Bob Middletown, hello.
Hey, how you doing, Todd? Yep, like you're saying, I mean, if the shoe was on the other foot, if it was the Democrats voting, they would vote in the person too. I mean, for the Supreme Court. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me that they would. You mean Pelosi and Schumer would say, "Oh no, we're going to wait for the election because we trust the American people. We love them." That's a bunch of bull.
I agree with you on that. I think this is the escalated level of the politics, and that's what Schumer is revealing in his remarks yesterday, is that he's not going to stop this. He's going to keep fighting the war. He wants to keep making us into the old Soviet Union. He wants us to be shredding the Constitution and getting rid of this idea of limited government. It's not that we practice limited government anymore. Both our federal and state governments have made us bankrupt, spending money we don't have in order to buy votes.
All right. And by the way,
we've got to stop that.
That one guest you had on earlier, the first one, was awesome, talking about the
virus.
Yeah, the virus. And that was just a lot of information.
Yeah, I thought it was really good, too. I'm glad you enjoyed it, Bob. Thank you for saying that. 860-522-9842. Joe Simsbury. Hello, Joe.
Hello there. I think the previous, not the previous caller, Lisa before, represents a number of people who really don't truly understand what happened with Merrick Garland and the whole thing with it being a year before the election. Basically, what it came down to, regardless of what came out of Mitch McConnell's mouth, is that the Republicans were not going to confirm him, so they were not going to allow the limited calendar they have to get the people's business done to be wasted on something that they already knew they were going to vote no for. So people don't understand that it's not like you can have this these long sessions and waste everyone's time and then go through that and say, oh, yeah, no. He cut it off knowing it was going to be a no. And one other thing I just want to mention, not related to that, but your first guest who has the podcast, that was fantastic. There were riots last night in Naples and Milan, Italy.
Yeah.
People taking to the streets, demanding their freedom back. And I'm wondering how much longer it's going to take until things like that start to happen around here. I'm not sure our small...
Yeah, I had the same thought, Joe, especially since they really got hit hard in Italy. They were the first ones who got devastated by the virus, and it's really interesting. Remember those? There were those moments where they were singing from the windows at a certain time each day to thank the frontline workers in Italy. Remember that?
Yes.
I mean, they were really pulled together in their defense against the virus. And now they are protesting. I was excited to see that there is some resistance somewhere in the world.
Well, I'd like to see businesses of all types, whether it be hockey arenas seem to be a new target in the Northeast these days, and other states have other types of businesses that are shut down. Just, you know, forget the governor and what they say. It's you need the health directors to stand up to the governors. The local health directors have to say, you know something, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going
to. Ooh, I accidentally cut you off. I'm sorry, Joe. I don't know that bureaucrats are going to stand up to the politicians or to the other bureaucrats. It's got to come from the people. But I'm with you. Somebody's got to stand up and say enough already. Neil in Bristol. Hi, Neil.
Hey, Todd. If I'm not mistaken, in the past, maybe 30 years ago, haven't the Senate votes been for the Supreme Court confirmations? Haven't there been like 95-5, 97-3? They've pretty gone smoothly, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. So what is going on now? I'm really upsetting to me. This is just silly playground.
No. It's not silly at all. The politics has become polarized because the two parties have become stratified. It used to be Republicans and Democrats didn't have dramatically different belief systems. They were two ruling parties of different cultures and somewhat different belief systems.
That's how
but
I
basically
grew.
they were about running the government. And now they've
talked to each other.
Well, it's not just talking to each other. There used to be conservatives and liberals in both parties. Now they've divided off into different camps. So there's no benefit to a Republican today to be friendly with a Democrat and to cooperate on legislation. Where's the reinforcement for that? What happens right now is if you're running for re-election in a red state, you're worried about getting challenged in the primary from your right if you're a Republican. And if you're a liberal in a blue state, you're worried about being challenged on the left. That's where the power is in the parties right now, because they are divided up onto the sides rather than into the center. And
right.
That's just and then, you know, there are a lot of other reasons, too. But that's basically what's going on. So the Supreme Court has become this place where you get to have more control over the future of the country by making sure you put really good partisans in there instead of people like Justice Souter. Remember him? There have been a lot of, you know, that was a Bush appointee who everybody thought was going to be conservative, and he turned liberal once he got on the court, which has happened a lot. So
yeah,
there's
thank you.
Those
John
two
Marshall
factors.
Was turning in his grave. Thanks, Todd.
Thanks, Neil. Good to hear from you. And let's see, Adam, we've got a minute. We can get you in. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Todd. First, love the program as always, and keep on old Ned. But I want to talk about the state of this nation and the race, and I know you're doing your best. You're just trying to save this nation, as Drudge and Savage once said. But I've lost friends, these two women are talking to me, because I've called out Trump where he's wrong and just trying to help him with his behavior and all that tweeting and getting so upset and hot-headed. And that's what I think is one of the things that's going to sink him in the election, because I know of a friend, she said her husband was voting for Trump, but he's mad at all his Republican friends. They're not going for Trump now.
I don't know. I haven't met, I don't know any Republicans who aren't going for Trump, but I do certainly lament the situation that you're describing, where you can't, you're not a credible person if you don't believe what the people around you believe. And that's a very hateful way for average people to be practicing politics, is to take away the legitimacy of each other's point of view and to not to be so fired up about it that you can't be friends anymore because of different beliefs. I mean, that's crazy to me. I know more people who are liberals than conservatives, unfortunately, but because I'd like to have more people in the room who agree with me once in a while. It just seems so rare.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.